Hey, what's up, you beautiful, amazing human beings? It is your girl, Sunnydale Bound, doing another questionnaire. This time, I'm back at it again with Endless Gin's Media Matters questionnaire. I love movies, books, sex, random stuff, so I was super excited to see it when he posted it. I know I just did one my own not that long ago, but I fucking love to talk. So let's jump in, shall we? So let's start with the PG section. Number one, what was the first film you remember seeing in theaters? Honestly, I know that it's not the first movie I saw in theaters, but the one that I really remember seeing was The Lion King. I feel like my grandpa took me to it. Obviously, my grandma and my mom was there too. I mean, that's not obvious, but yeah, they were there. Feel like that's who took me to it. I could be wrong. I don't remember when it came out. Let's Google that shit, shall we? The Lion King. Yeah, 1994. He was alive then, so yeah, I feel like it was The Lion King, and I feel like he took me. We didn't do that often. Movies were expensive for us back in the day. My mom was a single parent and all that jazz. And my grandpa, he was sick. So there wasn't a lot of disposable income, but I think that was it. So anyway, oh wow. Number two, a film about your life is made and is nominated for an Oscar. Let's go with that. What category is it most likely to be nominated in? I'm going to have to say drama because my life has been a shit show. Like, just bad thing after bad thing. So it builds character. Yeah, I've dealt with a lot of, family members passing, and I've dealt with, bullying and feeling isolated. And I'm the youngest and the only girl. So I was picked on by my brothers, and my parents got divorced when I was really young, and I never really saw my father, and he moved on with a new family and then moved on from them with another new family, and he finally got it right with the third wife and the third family. So good for him on that front, but it doesn't help me. In high school, I had a friend who, and I've had bad like experiences with relationships and self-worth issues and blah blah blah. So it would be a drama, but I don't know. All of the sad and bad things that have happened in my life make me want to make other people laugh and smile. So I feel like it'd be a dramedy. Like, I like to have fun. I like to make people laugh. I like to laugh. I don't like to take things too seriously. I know when to be serious and I know when to focus, but I also just really like to have fun. Drama is my least favorite movie category. I hate watching dramas. Not saying I won't. Like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is fucking phenomenal, and like there are dramas that are in like, my top faves, but like I try not to. If I'm watching a movie, I want to enjoy it and I want to have fun. So I'm going to choose a comedy or a superhero movie, or I'm going to choose like a horror movie, something where I can be entertained. So, yeah, I would totally, it would be a dramedy. Number three. Similarly, your life is written down. Is it a book of poetry, a novel, a nonfiction book, or something else? I would say my life story would be best written as like a, creative nonfiction, like food novel. Like, I love food and I have a lot of experiences that revolve around food. Like, a few months ago, we all got together and went down to New Orleans, and it was not for Mardi Gras because I don't drink, I'm boring. It wasn't even around that time. It was because, where was I? Sorry, Xbox just gave me a notification and I got distracted. Someone's broadcasting Hitman Absolution. We went down there because I fucking love Cajun food. And I was like, I got to choose where we went. And so I chose New Orleans because I wanted to eat, you know, jambalaya and etouffee and have fucking fresh Gulf shrimp. And it was so good. So good. So it would be a food. Oh, God, I don't know what they're called, but yeah, it would be like a creative nonfiction food memoir type thing. Number four, what is your favorite book, or with which book do you associate a strong positive memory? I don't really have a favorite book. My favorite genre is young adult literature. I like the POV, whether it's dystopian or horror. I like that POV. And, I gravitate towards that. And as far as my chosen career path, it helps that I'm into that genre or that point of view and those like young adult geared novels, because it helps me connect better with my career. But there's one series that is just completely and utterly and devastatingly underrated, and it is Angel Fall by Susan E., or I believe the better way that you can find it on Goodreads or Wikipedia or Google is Penryn in the End of Days. It is so good. It's about this young girl. She is taking care of her little sister and her mentally disabled mother during the aftermath of the apocalypse between heaven and hell, and angels have descended on the world and have been taking humans as far as like making them slaves and killing them and just devastating the world. And she ends up seeing, if this happens in the first chapter, so it's not a spoiler, she ends up seeing this angel and this demon fighting in the middle of the street at night, and as a human, you're never supposed to go out after dark. It's just too dangerous, and angels and demons want to kill the humans. And so she's out there looking for her mom or her sister. No, it's her mom. And her sister's with her. She sees this demon descend on this angel, and they're fighting, and the demon cuts off the angel's wings, and she saves the angel and like pulls him to the side, and it's just her story about working with this angel and trying to get his wings back, and her sister was kidnapped by the demon or by the angels, and she's trying to get her sister back, and so they're working together to get to, like, the angel-demon strongholds, and it's just, it's such a good series. There's three books, Angel Fall, World After, and End of Days are the three novels in it, and it's so good, and I feel like not enough people know about it. Every time I had to do a presentation in school for, like, you know, all right, now do a reading strategy for how you could teach blah, 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 I would choose a passage from one of the Angel Fall or the Penryn and End of Days books because they're easy, but they had such complex world building in them, and Susan Eve is just amazing at creating the story. And that was really long-winded, so I'm sorry. Let's ramp it up to PG-13, shall we? Number one, given that you had limited resources, what is something you'd conduct an academic research study on, and why? Be as detailed or as vague as you'd like. I would honestly like to see the effects of listening to someone reading an audiobook or reading a book, sorry, to a struggling reader versus them reading it out loud to someone else. Like, that sounds weird, and I'm sure there are studies on it, but having, or maybe like having, what's the difference between listening to an audiobook and reading along versus listening to someone reading it aloud in front of you live and reading the book at the same time? Would one benefit the other? Because with an audiobook, you could rewind if you didn't understand a sentence, or would it hurt because you could pause and you wouldn't have to try and keep up? Like, that would be really interesting for me. Number two, describe a time moment in your life that comes to mind when you hear suggestive situations. When I was in high school, I had the hugest crush on this guy, and we eventually ended up dating for a month. Nothing ever came about it. For a while, until after we broke up. But whenever we would hang out, somehow, for some reason, conversations usually started steering towards a sexual nature. Like, they'd be like, Oh, I was with this girl one time, and she was just a breather, and she would just lay there. What about you, Sunnydale? Are you a breather or are you a moaner? And it would just be stupid stuff like that, like just sexual questions that were just randomly brought up. So that comes to mind whenever I think of that. Number three, what's your favorite decoration you have in your living space and why? I have a Fallout 4 Nuka-Cola mini fridge in the living room. It's plugged in and turned on. There's nothing in it, but it's amazing. It fits a 12-pack or a 2-liter. That's it. And I love it. It's amazing. It's nice and super realistic to, like, what you see in the game. But it's, that's also tied with my Fallout 4 Pip-Boy. I got the collector's edition, obviously, when the game came out. And I love it. And they're right next to each other. I'm looking at them right now. Anyway, I love Fallout. I love the universe. I love the world that's been created. And I love immersing myself in it. And so I like having those little pieces of the wasteland in my living room. And I like seeing them. Number 4, do you have, keep any talismans or items of ex-lovers, partners, etc. around? If so, what and why? Back in the day, I used to, after relationships ended, purge. I would get rid of pictures, I'd get rid of texts, I would get rid of items given to me, or items purchased with that person, unless they had, like, different emotional value. And then months or years would pass, and I would be longing for just the slight reminiscing aspect of it. So, I do have one picture that I saved from my most recent encounter, if you will. And it's saved on my phone, and I look at it sometimes, not often. I looked at it today, unfortunately. I was changing my picture on my Discord, and I clicked on my folder, and it was there, and I saw it, and I just kind of glanced at it, and I was like, eh, and I moved on. It didn't stir up any emotions or anything, so that was good, but I'm not deleting it because, you know, what if a month from now I'm feeling that pang of nostalgia, and I want to remember the good times, and I think that even just that one picture will help. Like, I delete all texts, like, it wiped clean, but I kept that one picture just because I figured, why not? And it wasn't naughty, it wasn't a dick pic. I know you're thinking, but it's not. It was just a picture. So yeah. All right, ramped up to the rated R. Number 1, when did you start masturbating? And what I mean by that is, when did you first realize what you were doing was masturbation and begin doing it with frequency? As opposed to not really knowing what you're doing and acknowledging it was something that felt good, but not specifically associating it with whatever masturbation means to you now. Additionally, if you don't masturbate, what keeps you from doing it? Oh, I masturbate. I think I was 14, and that's when I also first discovered it. I did it, and I was like, what the fuck was that? And then I saw a movie, and I was like, oh yeah, that's what I was doing. That's why it felt good. And then after that, I became just a horny little slut, so whatever. Number 2, describe a funny, goofy, silly moment that happened to you during a sexual experience. I've said this before, it's the only one that I really have. I was with a guy, and we were rotating so that I could be on top, and my knee did not stay on the mattress. It fell down the side, and I hit my head on the side table, and started laughing, but like a champ, because I was not done. I got back up and climbed on top. So that was great. Great. Number three, where's somewhere you haven't had a sexual experience but would like to? Oh. So many places. I guess if I had to choose one, I would love to have sex at a concert. I think that it would be really hot, especially if, like, you were up in the nosebleeds, and, like, there's some people around, and you're just kind of standing, and you're both watching the concert, but, you know, enjoying it a little more than everyone else. I think that would be hot as fuck. Number four, describe your ideal post-orgasmic food / drink. So the first thing I do after I've come, I'm a screamer, and so I get either a drink of water or a drink of Diet Pepsi, and then I follow it very, very quickly by a smoke. Post coitus smokes are so good. Like, they're probably the best, tied with ones where you're getting paid to smoke, like on break at work. So yeah, water, Diet Pepsi. And then bonus round, NC-17. Given your mode of masturbatory aid, wow, your mind, audio, porn videos, etc., is there a go-to memory, audio, video that just drives you over the edge? What is it, and why does it have this power over you? I don't usually use memories as far as an aid when I'm fucking myself. There is this audio that I remember the first time listening to it. It did things to me. I had always... Okay. Yeah, I found it on Literotica. And I'm not going to say the user because I don't know. Anyway... It was about this couple at a live sex show, and they're on this spinning platform and just fucking each other hard, and there's a nice little mention of a princess plug, and there's she's wearing, well, I mean, it's the listener is wearing lingerie, and just half of it's pulled to the side and pulled down, and there's a couch and feeding a cock into your mouth, and just, you know, there's hundreds of people in there, and just showing them how good you can fuck him. And I want to say, I think there's a belt around her throat. Well, the listener's throat. It's either a belt or it might be a collar and a leash. I don't think so. He never did any of that type of stuff in any of his other audios. He used a belt a lot, though, which is definitely why I gravitated toward his posts. Yeah, so that one, like, it's always been, like, a fantasy of mine to be watched, I guess. But in like a not like just, oh, we're out at the park, or oh, we're out at, you know, the grocery store, or the coffee shop, or just in front of the window at home or something, but like in front of people that are there for explicitly that, like, I don't know. It's always been a fantasy, and when I saw that he had posted it, like, it was new, and it was, like, a couple days old, and I was like, fuck. God damn. And it just, the first time I couldn't even, I think I listened to it 3 times in a row, and it was, like, a 20-minute audio. The first time, I couldn't even touch myself. I was just so engrossed in it. Like, just listening to the build-up, the setup, the creation of the scenario, and just all the, like, logistics of how I was moving on the stage and how I was choking on his cock or, you know, things like that. Like, it, I tried. Like, I was already touching myself when I found the audio, but then I, like, stopped after a little bit, and I was just so enthralled, and it was just, it was delicious. The second time, I came in, like, 2 minutes, and I was like, fuck. So then I, like, lightly, explicit. Anyway, so that was the last one, and fuck, I ramble, I'm sorry. I feel like my normal ending closing line is, and if you made it this far, you're a trooper, but it's so true. Like, so long. I'm sorry. You know, I love to talk, and I'm sure no one fucking listens to this whole thing. Hit play, sees it's 30 minutes, fuck that bitch, leaves. You know, I mean, I don't blame you, but thank you, Endless, for posting this questionnaire. I had a lot of fun. I hope you listen. If you don't, well, that's just rude. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for posting. I look forward to hearing your post or reading your responses, because you definitely need to fill out your own questionnaire. And yeah. I'm gonna go. I've taken up way too much of your time, and I love you guys, and I will talk to you later. Bye.